Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Welcome back to Enduring Churches podcast. My name is Trent Young, and I'm here with Alan Small, and we are pastors, and we have a heart for people in ministry and leaders in not only ministry, but in all facets of life. And we want to help you to endure. And so, Alan, I don't know about you, but I'm excited to talk about today's topic.
Well, we certainly have a lot of experience in this one. We're going to be talking about your answering that call and what it's like to pastor a church, especially a small church in a rural or kind of suburban type town. And so we know you don't want to go into your church and just kind of blow it all up.
And so, yeah, we want to give you some tips today on how to keep from blowing it all up, to be able to become known as the pastor and help the church to look good and for you to have a good reputation as well.
Yeah.
So we've got several topics to talk about in that.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I'm excited about is one of the things that's kind of become a new trend that we're seeing with pastors that maybe didn't exist when you and I were starting out was a desire for pastors to actually come into a church and spend quality time at that church, not to look at it as a stepping stone or in another way, but to really come in and invest their lives into their church.
Yeah. And so that's why it's important to do these things well, right? And another thing I thought of when you're saying that is I remember guys that when we're in seminary, and I think it's even more so now, that they expected to go beyond staff or the pastor of a large church, when that's just not reality. I know that the majority of the churches in our nation are smaller, 150 or less. And so they will, and you're going to be in those rural areas and in a small church. So you might want to listen up even if you're expecting to be at a large church.
Right. And, you know, sometimes I know in one of our future podcasts, we have down the idea too, talking about how to handle a community that is kind of a dying community. And we're not going to go as much that direction today, but do know that we are aware that you could be in a community where the population has decreased so much, you really just don't know what to do. That's on our radar screen, but we want to talk about how you can succeed in that thriving rural community.
Yeah, so as you go to a new church, okay, you've accepted the call to this church and you are excited about being there. And you're like, as soon as you get that, you know, yes, that we feel that you're called to be here and you get that yes from God, then in our minds, Alan, don't we are like, okay, we're making a list of all the changes that we're going to make, like, you know, within the first year, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to whoop this church into shape. But that's, man, that's one of the worst things you can do.
Well, you know, and it's kind of a double-edged sword with that too, because you go in and, you know, you've probably dealt with some kind of search team, search committee, whoever that is, and they've got a list of changes that they had in mind when they called you as pastor and they invited you to come preach before that church. And so you're thinking, yeah, everyone in this church wants a lot of changes. Well, everyone wants the change that they want, and they don't want any of the changes they didn't anticipate.
Right. And everybody has a different list, right? It may not be the same list that the search committee had. And so you've got to take some time to fill that out. And so, you know, we want to encourage you to get to know the folks in your church. Get close to them. Remember that they've been there a lot longer than you have, and they're going to be there a lot longer than you will.
Right. And we've got seven pieces of advice that we think are really going to be beneficial to you today. And the first one kind of goes along with that, because there's probably someone who will let you know it, because they'll probably say it like this. You know, pastor, I was in this church long before you ever came, and I'll be here long after you go.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We had, she was a super sweet lady, and we had one of our, member that was there when I first came, that she was one of the founding members of the church. And so that was hard to get around, but she was very gracious. I was thankful for that.
Right. But, you know, when people have been there a long time, you know, and in many churches, the first church I pastored, you know, they had not had a pastor for more than 4 years in 100 years. And it's not that they were a fantastic church, but pastors at that time weren't staying a long time, and they kind of viewed themselves as a starter church. And so these folks are like, well, you'll be here, but then you'll be gone. And you have to fight through that. If you want to stay and you want to endure, you're going to have to recognize that you don't have that credibility as the long-term pastor when you walk in the door. You have to earn it. And the only way you earn credit for being there a long time is to be there for a long time.
That's exactly right. And that's why we're doing this whole thing, isn't it, Alan? We want guys to stay there and to do well. So you've got to do some things to be able to stay there. One of the things that we had talked about is that, you know, your first year, you want to make just small changes. And that Alan was kind of referring to our episode 2 we recorded about Pastor Poker, that, you know, you gotta earn chips to be able to make big plays.
Right. Yeah. You can't go in with this idea that you're some kind of big gunslinger and that you can go in and do whatever it is you want to do. You know, small is better. And, you know, I encourage you to make a change when you go in, but make sure it's the right kind of change. Make sure it's a change that really can almost fly under the radar. And the example I will give you is that, you know, our church didn't really have a logo when I came. They had a piece of art, mm-hmm. art, clip art that they had gotten off a computer, and they would use that on a lot of stuff, but it wasn't the church logo. And so, you know, I made a change. I went out and commissioned a logo, and I paid for that. But we had something that was different, but brand new. And that was a change that kind of went under the radar. It didn't affect anyone or bother anyone, but it did set a tone so that later no one was surprised when I made changes. And so only small changes in that first year.
Yeah. And a part of that is that you need to be a great listener so that you know what changes to be able to make that first year. Being a listener your first year is so important. It's important all the time, but especially your first year. You need to get to know folks and listen to their stories.
You know, and I would say this is an area where I probably have not been as good as I should have been. What do you do, Trent, to really take time to listen to your folks?
Well, you need to spend time with them outside of the church setting, outside of worship time and Sunday school. At different places when we were pastoring in Colorado, we had, you know, different things that people would invite us over, and same thing here in Oklahoma. We've invited people into our home just to get to know them and hear their story. Later on, I think that when you have conflict, if you'll develop that skill of listening, Dana and I've learned, especially as we deal with married couples, is that most conflict goes away if somebody feels like they've truly been heard.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things, you know, there's going to be conflict. If you go into ministry and you think you're going to create a conflict-free zone, you're in for a long, hard ministry. A
rude awakening.
Conflict is common. And sometimes conflict is necessary. Conflict is actually can be the stuff that gets us to the good stuff. Once we've experienced it, but conflict becomes a crisis when someone feels like they're being completely ignored. And so if you give people an opportunity or a forum and you truly listen to them and you can at least see the value in what they've said and value them as a person, a lot of the conflicts can be subdued that way.
The longer that you're there with somebody, the more that you'll be able to understand how they tick and, you know, what things that set them off or what are important to them. Alan, one thing that you and I have talked about more than once is that, you know, what does it take for somebody to be able to accept me as their pastor? You know, especially in a small town, rural church, you know, that by God, we've been here forever, you know,
and right.
And so take for them to accept me as their pastor, not keep talking about the previous pastor.
Right. You know, and that doesn't happen. You know, there's, like we said, there's, you can't exchange time in this matter. It just takes time. You know, they'll say on a national average, it takes 5 to 7 years to become a pastor. I think in a smaller and more rural church, I think that is actually faster. I think you actually can become the pastor faster. And you and I talked about this idea of it's 3 to 5 years, but probably closer to that 5 year side of things before you ever really gain the trust of people where you truly are the pastor.
Well, and that's, you know, it's different with everybody, right? I mean, it depends on, you know, some of your families, you may have been at the hospital with them early on, you know, in the first year, and they're going to love you and accept you as their pastor really quickly. Or if you've done a funeral or a wedding or, you know, some of those big things that stick out in people's minds, that speeds up the process. But there's going to be some that they're going to dig in their heels and they're like, no, I still love Pastor so-and-so from 100 years ago, you know.
Right.
So
let them love their former pastors. I mean, that is not a bad thing, to love their former pastors. And I would encourage you to love the former pastors as well.
That's a good thought, Alan. Yeah. Because, you know, we want them to respect us. And so we want to respect those pastors that have gone before us. And don't ever talk badly about them. And I've made the mistake of doing that in the past. So it's important. But, you know, as we're thinking about this, you need to get settled. In Jeremiah 29, you know, the prophet is talking to the people that are in captivity. He's saying, you know what? Just get settled. Build your houses. Do weddings. Do all of life. Be settled there. And your people need to see you be settled.
Absolutely. An unsettled pastor will have a fruitless ministry. You really do need to truly engage and interact with your community. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But before we jump there, one of the beneficial things you mentioned, having a deacon maybe take you around and show you, or some kind of lay leader within the church, but have some people in the church take you around and get to know where people are.
Yeah, that happened when we were pastoring in Yuma, Colorado, and I had just an amazing, I had great deacons, and Claire Hickman was one of our deacons. And the first week or two that we were there, he came and got me and took me in his pickup, and we just drove around he would show me where our people lived, and he would stop in and introduce me to people. And that was so great because everybody respected Claire. And so I got to get the benefit of that. And so I was truly thankful for Claire as he took me around.
And, you know, one of the other things, they'll take you to that place where everyone hangs out. You know, in my first church in Southwest Oklahoma, that was over at the Cotton Gin at the time. And there's always a group of farmers around drinking coffee. There's a chili cook-off every year. And, you know, that was where life in that community took place. And where is that? It could be in the school, it could be at a coffee shop or donut place, but where does life happen in your community? Have people in your church take you there. Don't go just alone, but let them see that you are relational and that you're willing to be involved in their lives.
Yeah. So yeah, in a small town, you want to be known not only as the pastor of Church ABC, but you also have the opportunity to be known as the pastor for the community in a small town. And so, man, take advantage of that. You know, Alan mentioned different places, and so we want to encourage you to help at school. If there's, you know, I substitute taught here in our church in Comanche. Some, or I helped out with some of the track coaches in Colorado. Just take advantage of those opportunities. Don't shy away from them.
Right. I'm in my eighth year of being the head cross country coach for our high school, and I've had a blast doing that.
Some of the guys have been involved in their volunteer fire department. That's a great opportunity to get to know, and man, you're going to be close to those guys. So that's a great open door.
That's what my predecessor did. He was a chaplain for our fire department. And so he was with them in some very challenging times, but it certainly gave him a sense of prominence within the community because he was highly trusted because of what he had done in that area of ministry. One of the ones you like to be involved with, Trent, is your local chamber of commerce.
You know, I grew up, my parents were in business and I got to, when I was at Wayland Baptist University, I got to put a shout out because that's where Alan and I went to school. I was involved with the chamber there in Plainview and just loved it. And so I've been able to be involved with our chamber here in Comanche. And man, it's a great way to get to know people and to, you know, help them to be able to do what they want to do with their business as well.
Absolutely. And so we're just encouraging, find the place that's the right fit for you within your community, where you can kind of become the pastor for your community. And that's a win for your church. I mean, that is it's an opportunity that when, you know, that unchurched family goes through a hard time and they need someone to preach a funeral, it gives you an opportunity to do ministry with that family. And you never know what fruits are going to come from that. It gives you a chance when you're in the community to speak life into people. It also increases the level of accountability that you're going to have.
That is so true. But it's open doors, man. It's open doors. And so we want to encourage you to take time. You know, as we do this Enduring Churches podcast, we want your church to last, but we also want you to last there as their pastor or their leader in whatever role that might mean. And so relationships are key, and time is what it takes to make relationships.
Yeah, you never bypass a relationship. And so if you're looking for a relationship that maybe can help you with some outside eyes on what's going on in your church, just want to remind you that, you know, you can get a general church consultation from us. We kind of come in and take a look at your church and really kind of take a look at everything that's going on and try to give you some action plans on how your church can endure as well. So we want to thank you for joining us today on this episode of Enduring Churches. We hope you'll join us next week and hope you'll invite someone else to come along this journey with us as well. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for spending time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.com so we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches and leaders that endure have eternal impact.